So today I have the opportunity to speak with Darren Hawkins, who is the founder and CEO of SpaceDC. And SpaceDC is actually the first data center in Singapore to establish a partnership with Singapore's sovereign wealth fund, GIC. And Darren brings a lot of experience with this, over 30 years of experience in the data center and critical infrastructure industries, including working for clients such as ANZ, Global Switch, Toyota, HSBC, and Telstra. So Darren, thanks again for taking a few minutes today.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the invite.
Great. So tell us a little bit more about your background and how you started SpaceDC.
Certainly. So my background, I actually studied architecture at university and worked quite successfully in that field for many years on all types of developments. As my career developed and grew, I moved into mission critical projects, which includes data centers and hospitals, universities. And I found a particular niche in data centers and a real passion for them. They're a very complicated piece of machinery, and you do need to have a particular drive and passion for getting things right. And that really does suit my personality of being a problem solver. And I see each data center project as a problem to be solved. So that's a bit about my background. And when I was working on data center projects around the world, and we would often get introduced to data center owners, that there is a large discrepancy in the quality of data centers that get delivered across the globe. So I think, in Europe and in the United States, they're quite fortunate to have a very well-oiled machine in terms of construction and quality and operations, for that matter. Whereas in many parts of Asia, some countries are struggling, just with the sheer growth in their own economies, lack of skilled resources, different methods used to build. And data centers, especially modern data centers, are quite an unusual build in East Asia. So obviously Singapore, Hong Kong, and Japan, Tokyo, and some other cities do have good data center infrastructure. But conversely, there's a lot of countries, such as Indonesia, where quality data center infrastructure is lacking. And there was a real need for that to be developed. We saw that opportunity, and it made perfect sense for us to take advantage of it.
So that's kind of why you started in Indonesia. And I agree that the skill set varies vastly across the different regions. So you have a new facility in Indonesia. I believe it's two different facilities. So why don't you share a little bit more about each of those facilities to what makes them different?
Yeah, sure. So we decided on Indonesia as our first data center campus, the IDO1 campus. And on that campus, we are developing two buildings, JAC1 and JAC2. So we are currently about to launch JAC2, which is a small data center, and then we'll be commencing a large data center, which is 24 megawatts. So those two data centers form the campus of JAC1 and JAC2, our Jakarta campus. The facilities there are unique, and unique in the fact that they're very efficient. They rely on continuous cooling. We have fast start electric driven chillers. We also have driven alternative using absorber chillers. So we have a lot of advanced technology. And when we look around Indonesia for other examples of data centers using advanced technology, we really don't see a lot of it, especially, so then when you look at the skills to operate that data center, there isn't a lot of experience. We've been quite fortunate. Our country manager, Elizabeth, has joined us previously with Amazon and has that type of experience that we need in managing and operating modern data centers. So I think we're well placed to actually do that, but it's certainly a challenge finding that type of resource in these emerging countries.
Hmm. And so how are you partnering with people throughout Indonesia? Meaning what kind of target markets are you going after in this Jakarta facility?
Good question. So we are very much designing to cater to world international customers. So people that are looking for a known commodity they can grow their Jakarta business in. So if you're an international bank and you're looking for a local deployment and you need to know that it's built to the same standards that you or Sydney or Washington DC for that matter, then you can come to our facility and know that you'll be getting the international standards that you're used to. One of the things that attracted us to OCP in the first place was being able to get that international recognition and that effectively communicate to our customers that we provide the same level of quality that they would expect in any other world-class facility.
Yeah, that's great. I like the idea of being able to have customers worldwide be able to identify a region and then know that they're going to get that either that hyperscale or that new open optimized designs. So as you've been around this industry for many years, how do you see the differences in the region, whether it be the Philippines or Singapore or Indonesia? What are the differences in the data center strategy that you see taking place?
Certainly, what we notice, is, particularly in the emerging Asian countries, is that there's a large domination by telco providers. So telecommunication providers are still relied upon as the main data center provider. And of course, we see that will have to change in most other developed countries. So the times of where the telco provider is the only one giving data center services will have to change. I think they're going to be under too much pressure to cope with emerging technologies like 5G and not be able to focus on the emerging technologies in data centers. I think the skill set and the business mind required to develop a data center portfolio is vastly different these days to that of a telco provider. And I think to try and do both is going to be very difficult for those companies in the future. So that's one of the main trends that we see. The other one is it's the network mapping and how you sort of harness that and maximize that for the local communities. So quite often emerging markets are struggling to service zones and provide reliable connectivity. And our data centers will certainly help that. And we're sort of network neutrality and trying to connect all the networks together so that the general population can get a better service for whatever the data is that they're consuming.
Yeah, that's a good point about the telco dominance in that particular region. And then it's good to see how you're going to complement that or offer different types of services that enhance connectivity. So
Yes,
as
certainly.
you
We don't see ourselves as competitors to those people, Steve. I think when you look at it on the surface, a lot of people think, "Oh, you're going to compete with them." But the reality is they struggle to dedicate CapEx to data center developments, and they're very CapEx intensive and investment intensive. So we actually think that many telco providers will be very happy to see us come into their markets and relieve pressure from them and even support them in their own growth through 5G and other technologies.
Well, that's a good partnering strategy. So how are you handling with all of the restrictions around on-site visits or face-to-face meetings? How are you showcasing these new data centers? Are you giving virtual tours, or what is your how are you helping people understand what's possible?
I'm sure that for every company, just like us, it's a real challenge these days with COVID around the globe. First and foremost, the priority is the safety of our staff. We don't want to expose them and indeed potential customers to any more risk than needed. So our first priority is to focus on that. What we actually end up doing is, yes, all the things you've just said. So we'll be conducting virtual tours. So we have acquired some technology to go and do virtual tour recording. We've been developing our virtual model and doing sort of an augmented reality tour. That'll be released in the next coming weeks. And then we're also doing virtual meetings on site. So you can literally walk with us through the building and ask to see various parts of the building as you might like to. You know, it's proving a challenge. And given we are in a mission critical business, on occasion it is important that we get people on site. You know, when people are looking to lay fibre in pits and things like that, there's things that need to be done. So we've been putting in various mechanisms. People will turn up when no one else is on site. And we do have, excuse me, we do have a very vigorous cleaning routine. So we've employed additional staff who do COVID cleans multiple times through the day. And we're fortunate enough so far, a rejuvenation program on site that we've had no cases so far arisen out of the construction works.
Well, that's good. That's great. Sounds very thorough. So as you look, you have Jakarta 2 launching when? In the next few weeks, yeah?
Correct, we do. We're about to start commissioning, testing and commissioning all of the major components of the facility. So Indonesia has just gone into lockdown again as of today. We're not forecasting any further delays. A bit sensitive and a bit careful with the testing commissioning and make sure that everybody stays safe. So, you know, if that happens, then we may have a few days delay here and there. But we'll certainly be complete before the end of September.
Before the end of September, great. And then what about Jakarta 1? When do you anticipate that going live?
Yeah, that's very exciting. So we're currently finalising a few pieces of documentation, and we're expecting to start turning soil in October this year. So that'll be a fantastic event for us. The development of the first phase of the hyperscale facility, which will be delivering 24 megawatts.
24 megs. It's going to be big. So as you look at past Indonesia over the next, say, year and a half, what's next for Space DC?
Yeah, it's a very interesting time, particularly at the moment in Singapore. We've been attempting to develop a site here for some time. There's a moratorium at the moment, which is, you know, proving a bit painful. So we're looking, like most people, we're looking at alternatives to Singapore. We're currently looking at schemes in Malaysia, further deployments in Indonesia, and other countries throughout Southeast Asia. The Indonesian element, I think, against Singapore is really quite interesting. You know, Singapore is a very close neighbour to Indonesia. It's very good business ties with Indonesia. So we see Indonesia, and in particular our Jakarta facility, as a good alternative to companies looking to deploy in Singapore but are unable to. Singapore, from a data centre perspective, is quite full and really does need of its capacity, especially if it intends to maintain its status as a hub for Asia. But nonetheless, right now, Jakarta is an awesome alternative to Singapore. It has a lot of growth potential and can accommodate a lot more capacity over the near term.
Yeah, and I would agree. Even looking at Indonesia for open source movements, they are early adopters of open source technology and certainly early adopters of open networking within open compute. So I think that your facility being OCP optimized combined with Indonesia's appetite for open source is a good combination.
One of the things I think most people forget about Indonesia is the innovation culture and the startup culture that exists there. It is really quite large, and you can certainly see a lot of ideas coming out of the country. Obviously, Gojek everyone's heard of, and Traveloka is another one that a lot of people have heard of. And those applications and those pieces of technology were born out of different problems in society that they were trying to solve. Traveloka, you know, is based on the fact that not a lot of people have credit cards and want to make bookings and need to pay cash or need to go to a bank to pay for these transactions. So it's really solving a unique problem. They've been able to obviously leverage those. I was fortunate enough to go to a conference late last year and saw a whole wave of other startups in Indonesia. And for me, it's a very exciting hub for technical development. And I think one of the things that they've been lacking is some quality infrastructure to help make that happen. So I think with the likes of Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Alibaba, all moving into Jakarta, platform for these ideas to generate on at a low-cost startup. So I think it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, I like that as well, because they're going to be using cloud native applications from the start instead of some legacy apps, and that all really works well with your type of data center designs as well as OCP hardware. Thanks again for taking the time, and looking forward to bigger and better news all the time coming out of Southeast Asia, and really appreciate your support with OCP.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to talk.
There were three key takeaways that I had from my conversation with Darren today. The first is around passion. You know, every time I work with him and his team, the passion that he has for this industry, as well as new business models, really comes through. And it's great to have somebody like him and his team in the community. The second is his recognition of the growing skill set gap that's happening in Southeast Asia around data center technicians. I foresee this as probably being the first of many steps over the next 2 to 5 years to help close that gap, and being able to help the next generation understand the new way of doing a data center, along with the new way of deploying open infrastructure. I know that Facebook and NTU have a partnership to trial or to pilot a program the middle of next year, and I hope that OCP can play a role in that as well in Singapore. The third takeaway that I had is around the Indonesian market in general. It is such a huge, huge market, but it's certainly not an easy market. They have a huge appetite for open source. They like to try open architectures. So I think with Darren's team leading on the facility side, and then as we continually grow the awareness of open hardware designs across Indonesia, this is going to be a pretty interesting market over the next 2 to 3 years. So those are my three takeaways from today's conversation, and hope you enjoyed the chat with Darren at Space DC.